If you ever felt exhausted by doing personal development and feeling you're not getting results, this is the episode for you that's going to turn your mind around and get you out of the healing mode and into possibility. This is the Debbie and Dr. Rob Show. You are in the right place if you are tired of the basic self-help and you're ready for a higher level of teaching in neuroscience, Jungian psychology, and Eastern wisdom. We offer world-class personal development and coach training for evolving women entrepreneurs to help you go to the next level of growth in success, relationships, and living your purpose. So let's get started. All right, Rob, this is a juicy episode. We're going to talk about the idea that we teach often, almost every day, is the idea that there is nothing wrong with you, that you're not broken.
Yeah.
And why we came to that idea and how it that idea is actually going to help you really grow in your life and move toward what you want in a faster, easier way.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you're a healer, don't turn us off yet. Listen, because we'll try to make our case in as diplomatic a way as we can.
Yes. So what is going on right now in how did the personal development industry get into this place of healing? And I just want to start off by saying the reason I wanted to have this podcast is because recently I've just been around it a lot. I went to a conference about a month ago, and all these women were talking about empowering other women, and these leaders were standing up, and their process and what they do is helping people heal from their wounds and traumas, and they're labeling people as having disorders and dysfunctions. And
everybody wants to be a coach.
Everyone wants a
therapist.
Yeah, everyone wants to be a therapist. I bought a couple books on Jung that were written by women, and page after page after page was wounds, healing, wounds, traumas. And I remember just in my personal growth experience that's all there was really, is all the ideas about something is wrong with you. And if you fix that thing that's inside of you that's wounded, then your life will fall into place.
Yeah. It's part of the paradigm of our society.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the books, it's in the movies, it's implied in conversations that you'll overhear that there's something wrong with us. It's somehow our past screwed us up. Our parents messed us up and we need therapy. There's something wrong, right? People joke about, I'm a little bit crazy or something. I might need therapy or, you know.
Have you seen your therapist lately? Yeah. Maybe you should talk to your therapist about that.
Adjust your medication, all those things. And the reason it's so powerful, it's because it is implied, meaning nobody's really talking about it. Nobody's bringing it up to awareness, to consciousness, and examining it or questioning it. It's just like a given, mm-hmm. right? That's just the way it is.
They don't even see it. And I remember when I was a hypnotherapist, and therapist was in my name, and I talked about healing your past, healing your childhood, and then you can have this great future. And I remember my very first coach, I said to her, she said, like, who are you? And I said, oh, I'm a healer. And she said, oh, a healer? Really? She said, if you can have the power to heal someone, that's a lot of responsibility, that you're taking on someone else's stuff and saying, I can heal you of that. No one can heal anyone else. And that was the first time I ever heard something. This is before I met you. And it started me thinking way back then of, What am I really doing? And I noticed in hypnotherapy too, we did a lot of regression work, and it was all about the past and going backwards. And I felt like people were just stuck in their old stories and, you know, what dad did to me and mom and, you know, Uncle Ted and, you know, all these people that from the past and these events that they have to come to terms with before they can move forward. And so I started to really think about what was I really doing?
Yeah.
And then we met and you were talking, you were also doing, you're trained in therapy.
Oh, most definitely. You know, my whole training was on the medical model, mm-hmm. because really the way psychology or clinical psychology at least sees it, it's adapted to the medical model and said, let's go with this. Mm-hmm. And the medical model simply says, you wait till there's something wrong with a client or the patient, and then you figure out a treatment to mm-hmm. help them overcome that trauma, that stress, that disorder, whatever's going on. Now, my particular research at that time in autism really took an interesting turn, because I was also trained in cultural psychology, which meant that I was used to looking at the environment, like, what is the culture saying and implying, and how is it impacting development and the way people express themselves and the way they see the world? And something interesting came up was that labels, which is part of language, really has a powerful impact on our behavior, on our brain, on our mind, because we define things through these labels.
And they're very fixed. Once you label something, it's not something that can be taken away very easily.
Exactly. So one of my first experiences with that phenomena was kids with learning disabilities. Whenever the child received the diagnosis of a learning disability, and, you know, and this might have been a very mild reading problem, mm-hmm. but because they had that label, now the teachers, the students, the parents, also this kid is broken somehow. You know, something's wrong with them. Their brain is not working.
It's not normal.
Yeah. And so, of course, most teachers are pretty good people, so they try to minimize it. But it's in the back of their mind, mm-hmm. and it's playing into their perception, the way they see this kid. And the kid is picking it up as well.
Unconsciously, they're picking it up.
Yeah.
They feel that you are looking almost like that in unconscious communication that's happening from the teacher to the student. They could feel, maybe not consciously, but they're perceiving that they're not being seen as smart,
yes.
or good enough or normal.
Yes. So later on, when it was my turn to diagnose kids with autism or people with schizophrenia or other mental health disorders, serious mental health disorders, I started thinking about this labeling phenomena. And sure enough, the research kind of supports this idea that a lot of the problems that come along with mental health issues is not from the disorder itself, but it's more from the stigma and the label that the person has to deal with, because it's a diagnosis that's going to stick to you. And, we were talking over the dinner table.
Over the dinner table.
About this phenomena, and you made an important connection there.
And I've said that's how I felt when I was doing personal development, and when my clients feel, and at the time I was working with only single people, and I said, even just the label of you're single versus you're not married has like a negative connotation that you're somehow less than the rest of the population. And then on top of that, not only is everyone thinking that something's wrong with you because you're single, but then you also have these other problems. That's why you're single. So it's like a double hit you get. And think about when I was 23, I started doing personal development. And I think about if I would have been around someone who said, Debbie, there's nothing wrong with you. So you're a little shy, or, you know, you're a little scared of men, or you have these, you know, kind of, you fall for the wrong guy, but there's nothing wrong with you, that you're really, just kind of seeing things in a different way. And if you could look at it differently and you could change your life, change your perception of yourself, then everything would change. I think I would have moved through a lot of the personal development a lot faster. But what they told me was, you're codependent. You have these wounds from your childhood that you have to heal. You have to, the inner child, you know, you have to heal her and do all this work with her. You have to regress back and find all these parts of yourself that were left behind. And I felt like I was this Humpty Dumpty that could not put myself back together again, this broken piece of person that if once I became normal, then I can go out and find love. Then I can find out my purpose. And I spent a lot of years doing that. And when we had that conversation, it just was a light bulb came off in my head, came on, and it said, wow, this is a paradigm shift that needs to happen. And here's the thing is that it's so pervasive that we don't even realize we're in that conversation. So I was on Facebook the other day and some woman, well-meaning woman, was talking about, you are not broken. There's nothing wrong with you. I'm like, that sounds familiar. But then she says, and I curated this great healing process for people. And I said, don't even realize that healing is implying they're broken after you just said it. So it's not even in their mind that it's something's wrong. So that's why it's not a judgment, because I was stuck in that too. And that's why we wanted to educate people. Let's change the conversation about what we're doing with, if you're personal growth, how can we get people to move from the therapy medical model to the coaching model? So we want to talk about the medical model a little more.
Right. It has to do with the paradigm. Mm-hmm. A paradigm really means that. I know a lot of people throw the word around, so it's kind of lost its true meaning. But a paradigm is like a worldview. Mm-hmm. It's like what everyone agrees as what's possible and what's not possible, what's real and what's not real, and all those elements are implied in the paradigm, and so nobody has to really ask or discuss them. It's just implied that, you know, there's something wrong with you and you need a doctor. And if you have an emotional problem, you need a therapist. And if you experience life for some reason, there's something wrong with you. Or if you're not getting success or if you're not getting relationships, the relationships that you want, that you're broken somehow. Mm-hmm. And it's implied and nobody questions it because they're inside that bubble. It's like a bubble of that paradigm. So we really need a paradigm shift, because when we started to look at coaching and, let's say, creating a coaching practice for us
and training coaches,
we started to see that most of the coaching out there, most of the coaching models, had borrowed a lot from therapy models, which in turn had borrowed from the medical model. Mm-hmm. And so it was the same old medical model kind of showing up in coaching.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were saying, and I didn't know this because I wasn't trained in therapy, except hypnosis. You have much more experience in that. But we would watch, I won't say the name, but a very famous coach, one of the famous coach in the world, has a documentary or a commercial documentary about his work. And you were watching what was happening in his event, and you said, this is group therapy. This is not coaching. And then I said, you know, a lot of events that I've been to as a entrepreneur, there's a lot of business coaches out there, and they're doing this kind of group therapy on people and talking about their childhood when, you know, it's a business conference and they're not trained to work with childhood issues, and they're kind of creating this, I don't know, this, they're trying to be therapists, I guess. They're trying to kind of have a transformation for someone, but it's done in with therapy, and it's really not the right environment. And it actually can be very damaging to someone and shocking when we've heard stories of people who stand up and talk in those seminars, and they're crushed because they're publicly shamed by the person on stage who's the authority figure. And yeah. I'm sure people are listening going, oh, I've been to those events.
Yeah, it's tremendous what's going on as far as that goes. But from our perspective, we saw coaching as part of the human potential movement, meaning it's meant to help people rise above their normal capacity, mm-hmm. and really develop skills at that almost like a superhuman level, right? Which we know humans have the capability of doing, but they need help. They need a coach. Just like the super athlete needs that old guy or that old woman and the sidelines coaching them, telling mm-hmm. them, try this or do you need to adjust this and do that to create those incredible feats that they do.
Yeah, that's there's nothing wrong with the coach. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the athlete. They're actually excellent at what they do. They're just trying to up-level their performance.
That's it. And we took that to heart. We said, that is the mission of coaching. It's really to help people go from average, normal, to super normal, mm-hmm. right? Extraordinary. And in business and relationships and creativity and entrepreneurship, all those things that people are using coaching for. But when we looked at what was going on, there was very few people approaching coaching in that way. Mm-hmm. Again, they were falling back on those therapy models, on that woundedness, on that healing aspect of it.
Well, there are people that do just task-oriented coaching, where take a step here, make a plan, move forward. But yeah. The very few. Most people try to tie in some kind of personality, personal development in it.
Yeah, and so we can ask, is that coaching or is that more mentoring? Mm-hmm. When you're teaching a cookie-cutter approach, you know, I did it this way, so do it like I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's real coaching in the sense that we mean it. Mm-hmm. That's more of a mentoring or a teaching.
Yes.
They're simply teaching you a process or a methodology.
Well, I think that the coaching is not regulated. So there is no common kind of structure for who can call themselves a coach and who can't. So a lot of people, they learn, I know for me, I did energy work and I could have just went on and said, I'm a coach now and I'm an energy coach. But it's not really true to form. It would be not really a true coach. And so there are a lot of people that do that and they just throw a coach in because it's not regulated and they can use that title. And we want to just warn people to make sure you stick with what coaching is. It's not about the past. It's not about healing. And I want to talk about that because a lot of people, when I say that, or I talk to people, colleagues, and they have this, you know, even clients, new clients that come to us, they're like, but you don't know, Dr. Mm-hmm. Rob, why aren't people, don't people have like traumas in their life? Don't people have bad things that happen? How can that they not be damaged in any way from those things? And so what would you say to them?
Yeah, in our approach, we don't shy away from the past, and we don't deny it that, or we don't deny that it can be difficult, or that people go through difficult situations, and that those situations leave an imprint on the mind as memory or as, you know, even trauma. But because we have a deeper philosophical understanding that comes through Eastern philosophy, we understand that the true self cannot be damaged in any way. So whenever you read books, and I just read one recently, and it starts out this way, something like this. This book is about healing your soul.
I hear that a lot. The soul healing.
Yes. So right there, you know that what kind of philosophy is this? Mm-hmm. The soul, which is the true self in human beings, cannot be damaged. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no real spiritual, mystical, even religious system that kind of
that would say
contradicts that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless it's just a metaphysical, someone made it up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a misconstruction, again, to fit a medical model. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of borrowing from here and there and putting these pieces together just to sound good. But it has no real psychological theory or philosophical foundation to it. And from our perspective, if the true self cannot be damaged or hurt, we're dealing essentially with an epiphenomena, which means it appears that there is this ego personality going on that is ourselves, but it's a superficial aspect of ourselves. It's just the surface part. Like Jung says, that's your mask. It's mm-hmm. your persona.
I know, and a lot of people think it's this deep wound or something that they have to go back into past lives to repair and take the damage away, heal the damage. And what we're really seeing, like you said, is that superficial ego personality. And so even that, the ego personality really can't be harmed, because it's designed to protect us. It's designed when we were born our full potential. The ego is constructed to defend our individual body and self survival. And so anything that happened to us, anything that would feel out of the ordinary, like not loving and kind, I wouldn't say trauma, but someone who would call it a trauma, the ego already set up a defense around it. So it never really was hurt. So what you're really dealing with at the patterns in your life that are creating your life are the defenses that were created. So so you have an experience that was maybe scary as a child, the ego would create a defense of maybe withdrawing or suppressing or moving you out of that situation, the flight, flight, or freeze, and it'll find a way to defend and adapt. And in that adaptation later on in life, it might not work anymore for us, but that's what we're working with. We're not working with a damaged part of us. We're actually working with the part of our mind that is healthy. And that's what a healthy mind does. It defends the ego. And so if we look at these patterns in our current life and think of them as just the way a healthy mind constructed itself to keep us safe, to help us survive, then there really is no damage. No one can ever harm you. And what happens then is that if you go out and go to a healer and they tell you, well, you're wounded, then it's like you're creating that in your mind. You're actually, your mind will create the identity of a wounded person and when it was not there. And so then it creates this other world for you. And for me, I was codependent. I had low self-esteem.
All the DSM 4-5 disorders. Yeah. And now we want to say, we know there is a healing tradition.
Yes.
That's bona fide and valid. And we encourage people that are healers to do their work. And we support that. But when it's brought into coaching, that's where the problems begin. Again, because we now understand the way the mind works, that the things we buy into are created, even if we're not totally conscious of them. Mm-hmm. But if they're implied, they become part of our identity, like you said. And once they become part of our identity, they become part of the reality we create for ourselves. And it creates that brokenness that the people fall into these cycles of looking for the next program and the next seminar and the next coach, because they're not getting any results, essentially.
Because they're still coming from the place of there's something wrong with me. And then it reinforced through the workshop or healing workshop they go to that says, yes, there is something wrong with you. And then you leave and you're like, okay, well, maybe there was something wrong with me. Now I feel like there isn't anything wrong with me. And then when things aren't working out in the external world, you're like, there's still something wrong with me. So you're caught up in that cycle. You're starting from a deficit. And when anytime you come from a deficit, you're going to be seeing that deficit out in the world. How could you have your feel unlimited if you're wounded and you're patched up? You know, like I said earlier, if I would have started out and I didn't meet all my new age friends in Colorado and did all those seminars, I mean, it was part of my path. And I think we all go through that. I think there's nothing wrong with that. I've done that for years. And I think we all go through a phase of spiritual searching. And there's a lot of that out there. So it's easy to find. Even any book you read, a lot of books, you'll see that word wound, healing, trauma everywhere. So it's really it's so hard to find something that's not saying that. But if someone would have said, there's nothing wrong with you, nothing that ever happened to you could ever harm you. You're a healthy woman. You are full of potential. I think it would just been much easier to get through things. And so I really, really am passionate about this. And this is why when we have our coaches go through our certification, we actually, in the agreement, it says you will lose your certification if you use the word healing, because it's not aligned with, we wouldn't want to be aligned with that, because it will muddy up the process for your clients. If they're going to be confused, are you a coach or are you a healer or are you a therapist?
Yeah, absolutely. And so our approach is essentially that, all we're doing is bringing awareness into the mind, like bringing light into a darkened room. But the let's say the darkness or the unawareness, the unconsciousness, is not broken. Mm-hmm. It's not brokenness. It's simply not understanding.
And darkness doesn't mean negative. I think a lot of people think the darkness of ourselves is just the part that we can't see. And it's really, if you think about it, the ego is the one that thinks in duality. So if we're labeling something as good or bad, positive or negative, we're really coming from an ego place. The true self can only see the oneness.
Yeah. Yeah, so all those things that people call traumas, for us, they become real opportunities to enlighten the mind.
Mm.
And it's almost like it becomes like they're necessary. You had to go through those things. You had to experience them, because now they're giving you the greatest gift of your life. They're taking you on the greatest adventure of your life as you approach them and you accept them, instead of trying to clear them, get rid of them, and seeing them as traumas, as things that you need to overcome. We embrace them. We say, that is your work right there, and that is your gold. That is your treasure.
And most of what people have labeled traumas and wounds are really just average life experiences. I mean, parents fight, parents get divorced, mom leaves you at the grocery store. There's weirdos in the world that, you know, try to, you know, do weird things when you're a kid and say the wrong things or inappropriate. And we've all had those experiences, and it's not to say those should happen to you, but if we let every little thing in life that doesn't fall into this perfect Pollyanna vision of what we think life should be, then we're really in for a surprise, because life is full of ups and downs. And so if we could see that no matter what happens to us, no matter how hard life can be at points in our life, that we're strong, and that there's a part of us that never is touched by any of it.
Yeah, and that brings us to our final point, this idea of women's empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
And how if the coach is approaching it as, I'm going to heal you to empower you, what's happening there?
It's not very empowering. Yeah, it's like the opposite of empowering is to tell a woman that because of what happened to you, you have wounds, you're traumatized, you're broken. And if you get healed, then you can be empowered to do something different. But you have to heal yourself first. And what if we told women that whatever happened to you, your healthy mind found a way to survive. And good for you. You know, I've met some women who've had some really tough times in their life. And I'm really, for me, I see them as the most courageous women. I don't see them as damaged at all. I say, wow, you've been through a lot and look what you've done. How amazing is that? And anyone else would tell them, oh, poor you, you had these terrible things. You should heal those wounds before you, you know, that's why you're not getting the results. No, I think I'm really amazed at, I feel like I had a pretty normal childhood, and there's people that have had normal childhoods that just whine about life, and they have excuses for everything, for not doing what they need to do. And then there's people who've had it really tough and they're strong and powerful, and they need to know that those of you who are listening that have had really, really tough childhoods, really tough things happen to you, you are here and you're alive and you're strong and you're powerful, and nothing touched you. Nothing touched the true essence of you. And if you could hold on to that, the world is your oyster. You could stop being afraid, and you could stop hiding, and you could stop using that as an excuse to slow you down or stop you from being all you can be. So that's my motivational talk today. I really feel strongly about this, and we both do. And we really encourage you now to just think about your life and really ask yourself, how much of my limitations that I perceive in my life I'm blaming on the past or something outside of me? And just meditate tonight. Go to bed tonight and think, nothing has ever harmed me. I am pure potential. And go to sleep and have the most beautiful dream of showing you what that potential is. And ask your higher self to show you what's possible for you. And I guarantee you're going to have a beautiful dream.
Nice.
And it'll show you a new future.
Yeah.
Face forward and believe in yourself.
Absolutely. That's what we're here for.
So, great show. We'll see you in the next time. We hope to see you in our group on Facebook, the Jungian Spiritual Psychology Group with Debbie and Rob podcast group. Love to say hello to you and see how you like the show. Give us your contradictions, your challenges to us on this topic. I know it's controversial. I know some people are probably triggered right now, but that's okay. You can change the title. You can stop using the word heal. And I want you to change it to use empower. Do not heal anymore. Empower. Okay. Take care, everyone. Have a great night.
See you next time.
Bye. You've been listening to the Debbie and Dr. Rob Show. To find out more about us, you can visit us on our website at debbieandrob.com. Also, please don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. We'd love to see you on every show, and thank you so much for joining us. And we hope you remember to believe in your biggest dreams.